G'day, and welcome to the Fasting Highway podcast, the podcast that's all about intermittent fasting. I'm your host, Graham Curry from Perth, Australia. I lost 60 kilograms or 132 pounds living an intermittent fasting lifestyle and have successfully maintained that weight loss. I'm also the author of the Amazon category best-selling book, The Fasting Highway, which will give you a great insight into what it's actually like to live it day to day, how to get started, what it's about, what are some of the health benefits that come from it, and how to turn it into a successful long-term lifestyle. In this series of podcasts, you'll be hearing from people from all over the world, from the beginners to the experienced and those that are on the journey. You'll also be hearing from some leaders in the intermittent fasting community, and you'll also be hearing from some past guests as we recheck in to see how they've been going. And thank you for joining us here on the Fasting Highway. Enjoy the show. G'day, and welcome to the Fasting Highway podcast. And this is episode 218, brought to you by our Patreon members community. Without the support of our patrons, we simply could not be bringing you this podcast each and every week. I highly hope that you would consider joining the Patreon community if you enjoy the podcast or you're a member of the Fasting Highway Facebook group. It's been terrific. It really has. And I say that from the bottom of my heart, to see so many people getting some help with their intermittent fasting lifestyle. So many more experienced fasters joining the Patreon community to share their experience and our Zoom meetings, which we hold twice a month, both in the Northern Hemisphere and Southern Hemisphere. We also have bonus content, there's bonus discussion topics, and much, much more each and every week to help you and support you on your intermittent fasting lifestyle journey. And you can join the Patreon members community by going to that link in the show notes there, at www.patreon.com/thefastinghighway. Okay, folks, let's get on with today's podcast. I'm really delighted to be speaking to Shoshana Grinstein. And Shoshana, after growing up in Montreal, Canada, moved to Israel. And she had a very active, healthy childhood living in Canada. And she's had a few trials and tribulations since then with her weight, as you'll hear about in this podcast. But Shoshana has a very interesting journey with her intermittent fasting. I'm not going to spoil the story. I'll let Shoshana explain it. So here she is, the amazing and inspiring Shoshana Grinstein. Oh, g'day, Shoshana, and welcome to the Fasting Highway podcast.
Thank you so much, Graham. It's amazing to be here. I am a huge fan of the podcast, and I'm really excited, and excited to be the first one from Israel as well.
First person from Israel and first person from down that part of the world, and I'm really excited to have you here, and I really follow your story on Instagram, and you truly are inspiring, so thank you so much for that. But Shoshana, for the people around the world that may not know your story, if you wouldn't mind sharing a bit of backstory and history and just how you found out about intermittent fasting and got into it.
Okay, great. So my story starts many, many years before intermittent fasting. I think, of course, like everyone else here, I had issues with my weight when I was younger. It was more of an issue with body image, you know, how other people made me feel about myself, which turned into basically an eating disorder with myself, you know. And so really going back to when I was very young, I didn't have the most supportive family. They were very judgmental. And I had grew up with three brothers who are tall, slim, gorgeous, always did well in school. And then I was the little girl who was chubby and didn't do as well in school. But that wasn't all there was to me. But that's just how the people in my life made me feel. And so my relationship with food very early on became very destructive. I had years where I was overeating. I had years where I was under eating. And it was not a fun ride. Cut to my adulthood. And I got married, got pregnant. And the pregnancies really, really took a toll on my body. I have lots of back issues from my pregnancies, from being so overweight, from being so heavy. And really, like, I couldn't find a way to lose the weight in between. I remember even by my third pregnancy, I was like, you know what? Before I got pregnant, I said, let's just get pregnant because I'm fat anyways. I'm not going to lose the weight. We may as well just have the other one now, you know, because I was always like, wait a one second, let me lose some weight. Let me get back into shape and then we'll have another kid. And it just was, nothing was working for me. Nothing was happening. I couldn't stick to anything. Wasn't yet clear to me that it was more of a mental issue, you know, and things that I had to work out in my head as opposed to really, you know, what's going into my body or and what's coming out or what exercise I was doing. And then I actually had a very, I'm sure millions of women around the world experience this. And I never, you know, despite growing up in that kind of environment, I really had an incredible childhood. I had amazing friends. My friends' parents were incredible. I had a lot of love growing up as a child. I had my grandparents who really helped raise me and helped instill some confidence in me. So I had never really felt like I was in such a terrible place as growing up as a child. I think I've realized that later on. But when I was younger, I never really realized how difficult things were for me and my family and how bad things were because I always had somewhere to go to feel happy. And after my third child, I got pregnant again very quickly when my son was about 9 months old. And we lost the baby a few weeks later. And I just experienced something that I had never experienced before in my life. I was so depressed and I didn't know what it was. I didn't know how to put my finger on it. I had no one around me who had experienced it really who could tell me, oh, that's what it is. That's what you're feeling. I don't think I really shared with anyone how I was feeling, but I just did not. I had three young kids at home. I did not want to get up in the morning. I was overweight, overeating, and, you know, just trying to cover all that up with my smile and pretending to be happy. I'm a very good actress. And, you know, I was working really hard all the time. I was running my own business where I was doing after school programs for young kids, teaching English in Israel. And so I was just keeping busy, keeping busy, keeping busy, and not really paying attention to what was going on inside. And I took a trip with the three kids to Montreal, and where I'm from originally, from Montreal, Canada. So I went to visit my family, my friends, and I remember feeling so much better. And upon arrival back to Israel, just boom, this down again. And I said, that's it. I have to get this taken care of. I have to go figure out what's going on. I have to get some therapy. I can't believe I haven't done therapy until now with everything that had been going on. And so I came back to Israel. I went to see my doctor. She right away prescribed some antidepressants, which I'm just not that type of person. I don't like to take a pill if I don't have to, you know, if I don't, I would rather not put something like that in my body. I was, you know, regardless of being overweight, I was always very conscious of my health. We always have vegetables in the house. It's a very Middle Eastern also diet that we have in the house. And so my gaining weight was basically after the kids go to sleep and just eating everything else that was in the house that I didn't want them to eat. So we were very, very health conscious. And I was also conscious about that wasn't going to be what's going to fix me or what's going to help me. I really wanted to dive deeper and I really wanted to understand why I was feeling the way I was feeling. And so I booked a psychologist and I started going and I went to her for a year. And that was just heaven. It was really, it just saved me. I got so many things off of my chest. She really gave me the tools and taught me to be more gracious with myself, kinder to myself. I remember her saying things like, you know, if your child did that, you wouldn't be so hard on her. You know, you wouldn't chastise her for doing something that you would just turn it into a teaching moment, which I would. And so she really taught me how to be more of a teacher to myself, more of a parent to myself, you know, to that inner child. And from there, it was just like this uphill, fun, you know, way, way more fun ride. Then I had my fourth pregnancy, and I, as much as I didn't really want a fourth child, it was really like, I didn't realize how much it was going to be this breath of fresh air, because I was sort of stuck in between, well, do I want another one? Do we not want another one? Because I was so upset about losing one. We ended up having a fourth child, which was amazing, incredible. But again, my weight was off the charts. I think I was the heaviest ever after giving birth to her, even. And then, and I'm talking here almost 90 kilos. And I'm very short. I'm a meter 50. I'm 150 centimeters. I'm not very tall. So 90 kilos on my frame is a lot of weight to be carrying around. And that's, I'm sure, is the cause of, I have three herniated discs in my spine. I've got a lot going on in my back, probably from stress that I didn't deal with also over the years. And so that's something that I'm dealing with as well. But then COVID hit and I was stuck at home with four little children, and that's never good for weight loss, never good for your mental situation. That was a really, really rough time. The first couple of months was mayhem for me, in my head, outside my head, you know, trying to keep things cool at home, but really just, I was really lost. My husband works in farming, so he was out all day long. He rarely came home. Also, he was nervous to come home with, you know, to be with the kids after being with people he worked with. So that was a really, really intense period. And I remember at one point when we did start going outside a little bit more, I met some friends at the park, and I remember them just complaining all the time. And I realized that's not the kind of mother that I want to be. And I took myself back home and I said, I don't want to be, you know, I said, I do want to be a mother who is proud of her kids, who enjoys her time with her kids. And I want to also enjoy my own life. We had been in touch with a parental coach before my third kid was born. You know, just brought someone in to help us out. And that was our first experience with a psychologist. And she was incredible. And she really changed the vibe in the house. Anyone who's thinking about something like that, I highly recommend it. It's really, really helped us out. You know, parents become parents and they don't really know what they're doing. Especially if they grew up in a rough household or a household that doesn't really support you and help you thrive. And so that was a really turning point for us as well. That was, again, before my third child. So I was already in this vibe of, you know, wanting it to be good for my kids. The COVID obviously was, you know, took a quick, sharp right turn there, but I got back on track. That's where I got into podcasts, and I started listening to parenting podcasts, and that led me into health, mental health podcasts. I became vegan for a while also during the COVID, also for maybe to try something new with weight loss. You know, I said, okay, well, maybe this will work, but it's also something that I really connected to. And I think from that, it's sort of, you know, things pop up on your Instagram when you're listening to things or when you're talking about things, your phone hears you. You know how that works. So we're talking years later already. This is about 3 years later after COVID, after things got a little bit better. But in the meantime, I am working on my mental well-being, and I am feeling amazing and confident, and I am heavy. I'm close to 90 kilos and I'm in terrible shape, but I had a very different attitude. I was kinder to myself. I was more gracious with myself. I kept telling myself, you know what? When I'm ready, I'll do it. I'll lose the weight and it will be, and everything will be okay. And that really led me into feeling more ready, you know. And I just, so I would listen to all these podcasts, Jay Shetty, Mel Robbins. I don't know if you've heard of them, but just really inspiring people who speak to lots of inspiring people. And the idea of intermittent fasting kept coming up also in these podcasts, also on my Instagram. And I was sitting one evening, 9 o'clock in the evening, and it popped up again. And I was like, what the hell? Let's get it. Let's go in. Let's explore. Let's take a deep dive into what intermittent fasting is, what I have to do. I'm Jewish and I'm no stranger to fasting. I right away was in a clean fast. I didn't even consider the fact that I might be able to drink something or eat something else. I was happy to see that I could drink black coffee because that's my go-to. So that was a relief. It was 9 o'clock at night, and I said to myself, you know what? I can just not eat until recess at school. I'm a teacher at school now, I can just not eat until 10 o'clock, until I have recess. What's the big deal? And at that point, I was also really looking for something to help me stop eating my kids' breakfast in the morning. You know, I would make them like a pita bread with some Nutella chocolate spread and some chocolate milk. And they would always have apples and fruits as well. But like they were eating the apples and I was eating the pita with the chocolate. So I was a little bit desperate at this point to find something to help me with that. And I felt, you know what? I'm ready. Let's see if I can do this. And I went until 10 o'clock and I felt amazing, not just, you know, because of the eating, but just the fact that I said I was going to do something and I stuck to it, right? I didn't mention it, but throughout all of those years, I had always been trying stuff and throwing money at, you know, diets and coaches. And I would try. I would always try. I always wanted to feel better in my body. But I wasn't ready in my head. You know what I mean? So this really, really, I was so proud of myself. 10 o'clock. I went home and had a nice lunch with my kids, closed my window at about 7 o'clock that evening, and went again the next day till 10 o'clock. And I just got into this, you know, shvung, we say in Israel, you know, just got into this. Okay, all right, let's do this. Close it at 7, open it at 10. And very, very quickly, within a week, I was pushing it to 12 o'clock. And then I was said, you know what, I should just save time, not have to prepare food for school, and I'll just eat when I get home. And so that made it go till 3 o'clock. So here I am, I'm already fasting, I don't know what, 18 hours, something like that. And the weight was coming off really quickly. I was feeling incredible, just so good about myself as well. And really being positive on the journey, praising myself, giving myself a lot of credit for it. And very, very quickly I started doing OMAD. In the first week, I think I downloaded Jim Stevens' book, which just having the knowledge and having a go-to for questions, that was so helpful to me. And I quickly started listening to her podcast, and then I heard a podcast with you and I loved it. And that was it. And then I was onto your podcast for a couple of months. Then I ordered your book. Both, I had it delivered. And then I think a week later, you had it on audiobooks. I was like, oh, thank God, because I can't sit down and read a book. So I have them both. And it was just, I just absolutely love the inspiring stories. I love the Facebook group. Everyone is so positive. It's such a great vibe. It feels so good to be a part of it. It feels so much bigger. And also the things that you do, it just makes, I love just putting it out there. I love putting that energy out there, telling people that, showing people that it's possible to feel good in your body, that you don't have to eat 6 times a day, you know? So very quickly I was on OMAD. What I did was also, I was still vegan at the time. And so it was a little bit more difficult for me to prepare my kids' food and my food. And I said, you know what? Things are becoming easier for me. Let's make it even easier. And I started ordering meals. So I knew that when I got home, I had this one vegan rich with vegetables and proteins. I had this meal waiting for me at home, which helped me get through the day, no problem. I would have that meal, have a bite of chocolate, get back onto black coffee and close my window for the day. And just, you know, it took about 6 months for people to start noticing. You know what I mean? And people were all of a sudden like, oh, wow, did you lose weight? That's amazing. And people would start giving me feedback, which made me feel even more confident and gave me even more motivation to keep going. And in the summer, when we finished school, I had given myself a goal that I do want to start exercising. And so I knew I was finishing up school in June. And I said, July 1st, I'm starting something. I decided to go back to Pilates, which I had done a couple of years back. And I did it three times a week in the summer, just changed my body completely. I'm still doing it now again, 3 times a week. I absolutely love it. I've been thin before. I've never felt like this in my life. I've never felt so confident, so strong, so free, really. Everybody talks about the freedom. It's just an incredible feeling to not have to think about where you're going to eat, what you're going to eat. Oh my God, am I going to be hungry? That fear of hunger really, you know, it debilitates you as a human being. And I have no fear anymore. I feel amazing. I feel like I can do anything.
Fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. And I can see the joy jumping out in you. You know, you can see that passion and that joy, which I love. And let's just strip it right back, Shoshana. You started, you sort of worked up to that 18 hours. You're eating quite well and the weight was coming off you. And just that, when were you fully convinced? I mean, obviously, as you said, you're a person that had tried a lot of things. You're throwing money at various diets. And as we all did back in the day, and, you know, the thing with diets is they'll work short term, right? But they don't work long term. They're not sustainable. They're just simply not sustainable. So when were you convinced that intermittent fasting was very different?
I think it was quite early on. It must have been 3-4 months. I remember saying to my husband, like, you know, because somebody had said to me, oh, don't you get hungry? How can you sustain this? How are you? Is this something you're going to do the rest of your life? And, you know, I felt that that was a kind of a little bit of an insensitive question at first, because I said, well, what diet can you stick to your entire life, right? And I think that this is something that I can stick to my entire life. I never want to go back to eating the way I was eating. I don't even remember it so far. It's so far behind me at this point. I am only looking forward. And I think it was very, very early on. I said to my husband, this is it. I can do this forever.
Yeah. I mean, you had a lot of challenges too. And I just like to pause and honor the memory of that great child that you lost there. And that's a tough time for you and your family. And obviously COVID came along, was a tough time for the world too. And I always say to people that, you know, turn their health around during that period, 220 to 222. Amazing. Absolutely amazing, because of that stress they were under. I'm not so sure I would have done so well myself, because I know I was freaking out. And here in Western Australia, we were pretty sheltered from it. So it wasn't too bad for us. But, you know, can you remember the date that you started? Shoshana, people like to know the stats, when you started and what your weight was when you started and where are you now with it?
Yeah, I think it was January 15th, I want to say. January 15th, 2023, I was 89 kilos. I had never really hit the 90 mark. Yep. I was 89 kilos. And slowly but surely it started coming off. Now I'm actually, when we corresponded, I was at the 70 mark. I was kind of stuck there. I didn't really weigh myself. I haven't weighed myself really in the last couple of months, especially because I know that I'm gaining muscle. And it really, I can see in my clothing. I don't need the number on the scale. It doesn't really frustrate me, but it could potentially frustrate me. So I don't even get on it. But since we corresponded, I got on the scale and I was about 71 kilos. We actually went on vacation for my birthday. My husband took me to 2 nights to Tel Aviv, where I did not fast. We had an incredible time. We had late dinner, we had early breakfast, but I didn't eat a lot and I felt amazing, listened to my body. And then we came back, quickly packed up the kids, and we went down to Eilat for 4 days with them. And I came back and I was 68.5 kilos. I had lost weight on vacation. On vacation with the kids, I was sticking to fasting more. You know, it was, I was busier. I had more to do. So it was a different kind of vacation. And I came back and I actually hadn't broken that 70, for months now. I've been 70, 71 for the last probably 6 months, since the last time I weighed myself, and I hadn't been able to break that 70, and I broke it and I feel amazing.
Yeah.
The difference I see is in my clothing. I'm constantly giving things away, you know, reorganizing my closet. Things are always too big on me. It's amazing.
Yeah. What's amazing is 20 kilos in 15 months on your frame is incredible. That's nearly a third of your body weight, right? And, you know, in 44 pounds in that short time, truly remarkable. And that's life-changing stuff. And, you know, do you feel like your life has been changed for the better? And just describe some of what it's done for you as a person and personally.
Realized about myself that I want to be a certain kind of parent, a certain kind of mother. And doing this intermittent fasting, first of all, it shows my kids, you know, it teaches them an incredible lesson that when you put your mind to something, and when you're determined and you want something, it doesn't always have to be the hardest work in the world, you know, but if you want it, you can do it. And so I think I've become an incredible role model for my kids in the way that I want to be. I know my kids love me and they think I'm amazing, but I remember my son said to me at some point, "Hey mom, I never see you run. How come you don't run?" You know, and that sort of also hit me really hard to the core that my kids don't see me being active. And now I am an active mom. We have dance parties. They see me all the time going to my Pilates. They see how light I am and how I feel in my body. So that is something that's really, really changed for the positive, that I can really show my kids how to do it right, as opposed to just tell them, no, don't eat that, don't eat this, yes, eat this, yes, eat, you know, they really see. It's my birthday today, and my daughter wanted to plan a birthday party. She said, "Mom, are you going to eat in the morning?" You know, they already know my schedule. They know that I'm eating at this time and not eating at this time. So they're very much involved in my process and in my journey. So that's something that really, really has changed for the better in myself. I think I've always been a pretty positive person, but now I feel like up until now, it was sort of like fake it till you make it. Now it's real. Now I'm really like giving off these positive vibes, and I feel really good about it because it doesn't feel fake, you know?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I do know. And I know what that means, to be fake it till you make it. Very similar situation for myself when I was an obese guy. Outwardly, very cheery guy, life of the party. You know, everyone wanted to be around me. They gravitated towards me. And I had that really sort of positive outlook all the time. But inside, I was screaming. I was screaming about what I was involved in the addiction to food, about what my weight was doing to me, about what it was stopping me from doing. So I really get what you're talking about. And I mean, outwardly, you want to be positive for people that are around you. And, you know, but inside, you may not be as positive. And I'm really glad that you've turned that corner. And now your life is so much better. And I think being a role model for your children is super important. And I think that's one of the greatest NSVs anybody could ever have.
I completely agree. I think as a parent, I'm also an educator. I preach a lot of things, you know, about how to be healthy and how to take good care of yourself. And now I am a picture of that as well. I'm not just preaching and talking and saying things. I can actually show what it means to be healthy and what it means to feel good and feel positive. And so I'm really grateful for that.
Yeah. Walking the walk. That's what it is. You know,
that's
you talk
it.
You talk the talk, now you're walking the walk. You know, when you do both, it's amazing. And then people gravitate towards you, and you know, those friends that are seeing you and they're saying, "Hey, you look so great," and you do. And, you know, obviously your husband's blown away. He's noticed it for sure. And he guess he's been a huge support for you as well.
He has been a huge support. He would support whatever I wanted to do. And he is just glad to see how amazing I'm feeling. He's glad to see that there's an outcome, that it's not just something I signed up for and I'm not going. You know, how many gym memberships have I signed up for and didn't end up going to the gym? So he's just so grateful for this lifestyle as well. He's happy to, you know, to let me eat or not eat wherever we are. He does his thing, I do my thing, and he's proud of me and gives me also a lot of motivation, makes me feel amazing. I have so many friends in my close circles who just hopped onto the bandwagon. You know, you look amazing. Not even because they have weight to lose, but just, you know, they see the energy, they see the difference in my skin, they see the difference in my attitude, and they see how it's a great lifestyle to be a part of. And so they have hopped on. I have a whole bunch of friends who are doing 16-8, some of them more, some of them less, but really have gotten into it with me, which is so much fun because it's never easy to get a friend onto a difficult diet, but this is fun for everyone. So we'll call each other up. Are you eating now? Do you want to go out? And we make a date according to our open windows.
Yeah, that's fun, isn't it? And you know, that's what I see when I interview people. I see the brightness in the eyes. I see the brightness in the skin. The skin always looks amazing. Like, your skin's amazing. It's incredible. I'm looking at you on screen here. And I see that in so many of the guests that I interview. And you know, how intermittent fasting just the cellular repair that we have, and that rest from digestion for our organs, and it's so good for our bodies. And, you know, let's just dig into your eating window for a bit, because I know people out there always want to know this. I know you mentioned that you were vegan. So right from the start, just give us a typical sort of run-of-the-mill, sort of a few of the meals that you might have for the folks out there listening.
So when I had first started, I would just, you know, bring a sandwich with me to work. Probably I would cut up some vegetables, and then I would come home and I would eat with my kids and skip out on the meat. Took about 3-4 months, and I decided I don't really want to be vegan anymore. It's difficult. I want to get this one meal that I'm having, and I want it to be good. I want it to really nourish my body. I slowly started reintroducing fish. I would have some salmon, some tuna, and eventually started eating regular again. So right now, what my one meal a day looks like is, very often it'll be a nice big salad with maybe a slice of bread next to it. At work, we have this incredible fresh salad place next door. I have one day where I'm at school till a little bit later. So that's my go-to for that day. I know I'm getting a nice, big, healthy salad. And then at home, I really don't, you know, I used to cook for myself and cook for my kids. And now we eat the same things, because it's okay if I have white rice as opposed to brown rice. It's okay if I have, you know, fried schnitzel as opposed to baked schnitzel. Do you know what I'm saying? So I let go of all of this stress around cooking. I cook for my family. We eat pasta, potatoes, whatever it is I'm cooking for them, I'll have a small portion of it as well. I have not been able to get the sugar out of my diet yet. I still have some chocolate before I close my window usually. For now, it makes me feel good. I see, what's her name? Arielle Pinto. I follow her as well on Instagram. She's super inspiring. And I see that she's doing that she's cut out sugar as well. So I feel like I'm getting there. I do want to try it out. But for now, I'm just enjoying eating everything. There's nothing that I will not try. There's nothing that I won't eat. There's this fear. I remember being at this hotel with my husband now when we were in Tel Aviv, and I said to him, I'm like, I used to be so afraid of even going near the cheese table or even going near the bread baskets. I would be afraid of it because I knew that it would just, you know, make my body bloat, or I knew that I needed to be in some sort of caloric deficit or be on some sort of diet. And I don't have that fear anymore. I really just enjoy what's in front of me once a day.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And with your OMAD, is it more of a restaurant style where you'll open with a snack and then maybe your main and maybe a dessert if you feel like it? Or is it just one plate? How do you roll with that?
So it depends on the day. I'm also very busy with my kids in the afternoon, which helps me close my window as early as possible. If I know that I'm not going to have time to sit down again, I'll just close my window and leave it at the one plate of meal, the one plate that I had with a piece of chocolate, you know, and a coffee afterwards. But so that's usually like that. But so I have some days off, for example, where I'm at home for longer hours. So I'll open it up with a small breakfast in the morning. Then I'll eat with my kids when they come home, and then I'll close my window. So it depends on the day, but it's mostly just one plate. And I have a few days, or on Saturday, for example, where it's a little bit longer. I'm a little bit more lenient with myself and with my window over the weekends. And that hasn't deterred me in any way. And it hasn't slowed. I don't feel like it slowed me down, which is a really positive thing. And if and when I'm ready to tighten up a little bit more, I do it. I'll do it for a week here or there and feel a little bit more weight loss and feel a little bit lighter in my body. But I'm not very strict with my OMAD or with my windows. I really just go with the flow, and I listen to my body, and that's how I do it.
You know, I sort of turned intermittent fasting around on its head, and I call it vigilance without obsession, right? Because it's something you're vigilant with, but you're not obsessed about it, right? Like we have been in the past with other things that we've done. And I find it freeing to be able to do that. And you mentioned that word a couple of times. We talk about the non-scale victories and the health benefits that come from living this lifestyle. And you've touched on them a bit, but you also had a few injuries there. How are they all going? And and the NSVs and health benefits for you?
So I think, first of all, just having the weight off is an incredible, is incredible for my back as well. I have some issues with my back. I think the Pilates is helping me a lot. I definitely have been reading about those longer term fasts. I'm not there yet. I don't see myself not eating for 5 days and working and taking care of my kids. So I'll get there one day. I definitely want to try it. I've heard some incredible things about longer fasts, water fasts. I'm reading about them. I don't think I'm there yet, but I will eventually try something like that to see if it can help repair some of the damage in my spine. But the exercise is incredible. Being lighter and being able to exercise and being able to move my bodies in ways I don't ever think I imagined since I was younger. So that's been an incredible, incredible NSV for me. Just being able to feel strong and feel good in my body is great. That I definitely have less pain. I can move around more. I sleep better. But there's pain. There's pain there. You know, it's duller. Can you say duller? But it's there. It's there.
Yeah, it's got to take a lot of pressure off, doesn't it? Losing 20 kilos or 44 pounds off your back for sure. But, you know, appetite correction we talk about too. And, you know, when we first start, we sort of get to that period trying to work through where we eat till we're satiated. You know, we don't have that stuffed feeling. Did appetite correction come for you fairly early? Were you sort of almost as deafening, you recognize that signal?
Oh, 100%. It came, also took a couple of months for my body to really react in the way that it needs to react. I definitely felt hungry in the beginning. But you know, within a week, like I said, I can already feel the difference. And so I, you know, took advice from the experts, from you, from Jen Stevens, like, yes, you feel hungry, but you can have a coffee, have a cup of water. There's lots of people talk about the salt. I haven't done it yet, but I haven't needed it. And I just was so confident that this was something that was going to be good for me, that I would just say, okay, I would have a conversation with myself. Yes, I'm hungry, but it's not going to kill me. It's not the kind of hunger that I must sit down and eat something. And so definitely that came really quickly, the appetite correction, where I really was listening to my body. And I've had days, you know, before my period where I would, let's say, close my window at 4 or 5 o'clock. By 9 o'clock, I am ravenous. And I know that that's real hunger. Do you know what I mean? I know that I got to sit down and eat something now, and I'll make myself something to eat. And I'll eat and I won't feel bad about it. And I don't say anything negative to myself about it. I know that I'm going to eat something. I'm going to close my window and get right back into it overnight and through the next day. So I don't feel bad when that happens. And I really, really have learned to listen to what real hunger feels like, sounds like also, you know, and really just listen to my body and give it what it needs and don't give it what it doesn't need.
Yeah. I think that's a real turning point, isn't it, on our intermittent fasting lifestyle journeys, where we, those two types of hunger, that head hunger and that belly hunger, and then we're able to sort of work out which is which, then it becomes obvious as what you need to do. I mean, listening to your body is really important, as you just mentioned there, but it's also, you know, sometimes hunger isn't an emergency, as they say, and it's something that will pass. So what are sort of some of the distraction methods that you will use back in the day when you first started, when you're getting hungry and that, how would you handle that?
Well, like I said, I would have conversations with myself. I would really just say to myself, you know, okay, you can do this. You can get past this. It's fine. And keep myself busy. I would take my kids to the park. It's usually these hours in the afternoon where I was used to eating more with them and snacking more with them. But I would take them to the park and we would kick a ball around with my boys. They're soccer players and they're always, anytime I bring a ball, they're happy. Or I would fold some laundry, you know, just something to distract myself a little bit more. Have a coffee always helps. And then I really just don't feel hungry anymore once I've filled my belly with a coffee. A glass of water. I like to drink warm water in the evening. It helps me. It helps my stomach stay calm, and it helps any hunger pangs are gone. You know, I just drink some warm water. I don't really like tea or anything like that. So I I've gotten into the warm water. And that's it, really. Just in the beginning, I needed to distract myself more. At this point, I'm calmer about it. I don't stress out about the fact that I'm feeling hungry. And so it helps me get through it quicker.
Yeah. You strike me as a person that has a really great mindset around this. And I think you've put a lot of thought into it about where you're going to with it in the future. And there's no hurry for you, is there? You're just quite happy and content to cruise along. You're happy within your skin at the moment. You're happy within your body. And if it takes a little while to lose any extra weight you may have, that's not a concern for you. And I think a lot of people are in such a rush to get the weight off. So I think that's a really important message.
100%. I got to tell you, this is the first time in my life, from the first time I saw a dietitian at about 12 years old and, you know, going through all of these diets all my life, it is the first time in my life I have been able to stick to something for more than 4 to 6 months. So at this point, I say to myself, you know, it's going to happen. Just stick to it. Fast on, as we like to say. It's going to happen. And I know that I've got about, you know, 10 to 15 kilos on my frame that I want to lose. And I am not stressed about it. I am just going to keep fasting, keep doing what I'm doing, keep being positive, you know, maybe make some tweaks here and there to make it a little healthier, you know, take out some sugar out of my diet. But I the stress and the fear are gone. I have no problem with this taking another year, another 2 years. I see such incredibly inspiring people on the Facebook group, and I have no doubt. You know, I really am in a good place. Like you said, I've got a good mental clarity about this whole thing, and that is from therapy, and that is from you know, just feeding myself with really, really good positive vibes, the podcasts that I listen to, and all those things. And I'm really, really, I'm in no rush. Like you say, I know, I believe in myself. I know that I can do this. I know that I can stick with this long enough and forever is the real goal, right? I know that I can stick this out, and I will get to where I want to get to, and it'll take a little bit more time, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah, 100%. And I think that's a great mindset to have. And you know, you're only a young woman too. So, you know, if it takes you another couple of years, it's no big deal. You've still got your whole life ahead of you, you know, and what we're living here is a lifestyle. We're not on a diet. So it doesn't matter whether it takes a little longer, you know. Now I see so many people in so much of a rush, you know, I want to get the weight off. Why haven't I lost 20 pounds in 2 weeks? You know, well, sometimes it doesn't happen like that. You know, it's not a silver bullet, intermittent fasting. It's a lifestyle change, I feel. And we're changing, we're rewiring the whole way we take in our nutrition, right? And do you drink alcohol, Shishan?
I do. I drink alcohol. Not often, I would say. My husband has a very interesting schedule where he's, like I said, he works in farming. So he's home more in the winters. So definitely this past winter, there was a rise in my alcohol intake. But other than that, it's probably just a glass of wine, you know, once a week with my neighbor. We sit on Friday and have a glass of wine. I don't overdo it, but that's like, I feel like that's the lifestyle, you know, like you said, vigilance without obsession. I'm not vigilant about it. If my friends want to go out for a drink, I'll go out for a drink, but I won't overdo it.
Yeah, life's to be lived, you know, and that's the important thing. We need to know that life's to be lived. We're not in boot camp here. You know, we need to be able to live our life, and it's perfectly fine to go and do what you're doing. And, you know, it's just a question I had about alcohol. But I think, you know, you have a really good handle on this. And, you know, if you were sitting down with some people in a cafe there and they said to you, wow, Shishana, you look amazing, and truly you do. And how do we do this? How are we going to get going? How are we going to get started? What would you tell them?
Well, the first thing I would say is just start. You know, if you pick a time, pick a window, and see if you can handle it. The second thing I would say is read the literature. It's important to understand what you're doing. And I would say that in every aspect of life. I am a parent who reads a lot, listens to a lot of podcasts about parenting. I think it's important when you want to do something in your life or you want to make a change, you have to really understand what you're doing. And I think the knowledge behind it, the science behind it, makes it so much more exciting. It makes it so much easier to get on board, because I tell people, you know, it's like magic. My body is just is doing the diet for me from the inside. You know, that's what I tell people. I've learned about what's going on inside my body, and it's incredible. I would say for me, for example, I had a few diets where, you know, you sort of had to be committed to the Facebook page or the WhatsApp group. For me, that was really, really overwhelming to have to always put in what I'm eating and, you know, and comment on others. You know, they want you to be involved. And here I find the Facebook group is really inspirational. Nobody's pushing you to be a part of it. You can, you know, I remember it took me months until I was ready to really put up a face-to-face Friday and show myself online. It took some time, but I think being a part of the community, finding people around you who support you, is so essential to long-term success.
Yeah, that's great advice. And it's plugging into your tribe, isn't it? Or your community, as I say. I think the Fasting Highway Facebook group does have that vibe and sense of community, and it's a global village that we've created. And one thing we don't do is we don't promote peer pressure challenges, because we feel that, you know, if you're coming, you're a person and just comes into the group, you're just starting, all of a sudden you're having these challenges. Oh, you know, who's going to fast 40 hours or who can fast the most, those sorts of things. We don't try to promote those or condone them, because they just get too hard for people. But I do think intermittent fasting has got slightly confusing over the last few years as new spins have come in. And you mentioned there that you may do some extended fasting down the track. So up to now, you haven't done anything like ADF or any extended fast?
ADF, no. I did do, actually, after Yom Kippur, we were already fasting for 5 hours. Didn't feel hungry. So I decided I'm not going to eat and I'll just go to the next day. And then I did my first 36-hour fast, which was nice. I don't feel like I really need to push myself over a certain limit. It was nice. It was fun to try, and I was proud of myself that I did it. But I said I'll wait till next Yom Kippur to try again.
Yeah,
we'll keep that as an extended fast.
I mean, we talk about the positives, but a question I always like to ask people is, with intermittent fasting, like when you first began, was there any struggles that you had, or was it pretty smooth sailing for you?
Because I was in a really good mental state, because I was in a really positive place in my head. And I think it came, you know, it really just landed on me at the perfect time. And I think just all those puzzle pieces coming together, it was smooth sailing for me. I know that it's not like that for everyone, but I really think because I did, I think for 2.5, 3 years already, I was really working on myself. I was really working on my mental state and working on, like I said, being gracious with myself and kind to myself. And I think that all of that led up to this being a really smooth transition for me.
Yeah, I think that's important. And I say that to people all the time. If you have issues, like whether it be food addiction or sugar addiction or alcohol problems, or in your case, you had a few issues that you needed to sort out, and you did. And I think that's really great that you came to intermittent fasting at a time that you're in a headspace to be able to deal with it. You know, like you could rip in and you could focus on it. Your focus was good. You weren't worrying about all the other things. And I say to people, if you have some issues going on, try and deal with them first before you come to intermittent fasting, because intermittent fasting is a huge step change in how we take in our nutrition. It's a whole new rewire of how we think about food, how we take it in. And it can be difficult if you've got other things going on in the background. So I think what you did was pretty admirable.
Thank you. I think if you've got those stresses in your head, you're more likely to continue with the binge eating, or to break, so to speak, or to cheat on your fast. I think if you haven't really dealt with what's making you overeat, or what's making you, I mean, it's you making those choices. Yes. So I think if you haven't really dealt with what's really going on behind the reason for why you're overeating or you're binging at night and things like that, I think it can definitely make the process more difficult.
Absolutely. But I can't tell you how inspiring you've been today. You truly have. And I cannot wait to catch up with you in 6 to 12 months' time and see where you're at there, because I think we're going to hear some great things coming out from you around the world in a short space of time. So thank you for joining me here on the Fasting Highway.
Thank you so much, Graham. This was really, really exciting for me. An amazing birthday present. I'm so excited to really get into this next year. I'm 39 years old. I always wanted to be a gorgeous mom at 40. So I'm looking forward to that, just being myself and continuing to be inspired by people like you and the people you bring onto the podcast and in our Facebook group. It's really, really incredible. So thank you so much for all that you've been doing and all that you've done. And congratulations to you for all your success, both physically, mentally, and in the online world like this. This is really, 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 really inspiring. So thank you so much for all that you do.
Well, thank you. And happy birthday. And you're well on your track to that target, 40, I'll tell you. And you're looking amazing. And I cannot thank you enough. I think some of the things you talked about today, and I particularly liked around that fake it till you make it, because that really struck a chord with me. And I think we might try to work that into the title of the episode. But thank you so much, Ashana, and we'll talk soon.
Thank you. Thank you, Graham. Take care.
Okay. Bye. Oh, thank you so much, Ashana. What a wonderful story. Absolutely fantastic. Thank you for sharing it with us here on the Fasting Highway podcast. I really look forward to catching up with you in 6 to 12 months' time to see where you are then. But you're certainly going to inspire people with this episode right around the world. So thanks again. Okay, folks, as you heard, the podcast is brought to you by our Patreon members community. I strongly urge you all to consider joining the Patreon members community. It's been a fantastic way for people to supercharge their intermittent fasting lifestyle. We have two Zoom accountability meetings each month, one in the Northern Hemisphere and one in the Southern Hemisphere. We also have added bonus content, there's bonus discussion topics, and much, much more in our Patreon community. It's a small contribution each month, and you can get a lot in return. You can find out more by going to that link in the show notes there at www.patreon.com/thefastinghighway. Also, folks, if you are interested in my own story with my intermittent fasting journey, you can find that in my book, The Fasting Highway. You can get that on Amazon in both paperback and Kindle. If you're after the audio version, you'll find that on audiobooks.com, Kobo, Spotify, and many, many other audiobook platforms. Just Google The Fasting Highway audiobook and you'll find it. Okay, folks, until next week, be well, be safe, and remember, clean fasting is everlasting.